Pastor Hugh got a phone call from the school, and the school said that her daughter was ill, and that Pastor had to come immediately. But first, Pastor called the doctor prescribed the medicine. So the pastor went to the pharmacy to get the medicine. When the pastor came out of the pharmacy and went to her car, she realized she had lost the keys in her car. And so here's her daughter at school. She had to go pick up with the medicine to help her feel better, and the pastor was powerless. So the pastor made a prayer to God and said, "Oh, Lord God, please send help." Which the pastor looked down, and there on the ground was a rusty old coat hanger. So the pastor thought, "Okay, God, I thought it'd be a little bit more, but this is what I get." So the pastor tries to get the handle open with the rusty coat hangers. Now, when I first got a car, that was possible. And I don't know if y'all remember those of you had the first car. You tried to open it by looking at it.
Yeah, okay,
mom is open. But not any newfangled cars. And she worked and worked and couldn't get it worked out. So she said, "Lord, I need more help." And at that time, up drove this old jalopy. And the guy got out, and he looked like life had just taken him to the, you know, the nth degree, beat him up and put him back on earth. And the guy goes, "Can I help you?" The pastor said, "I got medicine in the car, got a daughter over there, I can't get it, and the door's locked." The guy walks over, within a minute, had the car door open. And she said, "Oh, you're so nice." To which the man said, no, I'm not really a nice man. I just got out of prison today for breaking into cars. I've been out about an hour." To which the pastor said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for sending me a professional." So on Reformation Sunday, that's what it is, the last Sunday of October, that's the closest to the big Reformation event, we celebrate this stream, this legacy of faith that we enjoy now here in the 21st century. The Reformation was basically begun on October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther, he was a Roman Catholic priest, Martin Luther had an issue with how salvation was proclaimed. See, that day and time, there were people running around selling what we call indulgences, which is for a piece of paper and a sum of money, you could be guaranteed to get into heaven because your sins were forgiven. The piece of paper guaranteed that. Martin Luther wanted to reform the practice. And so he took 95 points of contention, they're called theses. He nailed it to the Wittenberg church door in Germany, expecting dialogue. He wanted a theological discussion. None was to be had. In fact, what happened was that he was put on trial. He was declared guilty as a heretic, and he was excommunicated. And if they could have gotten to him, they would have killed him. And so Martin Luther went into hiding. This is kind of the kickoff of what we talk about the Protestant Reformation, of which now we have a multiplicity of denominations looking at the viewpoint of Almighty God and Jesus Christ from a variety of different viewpoints. Over the years, what I've done on this Sunday is to talk about the different streams of the Protestant faith. We've talked about Martin Luther, I gave you a little thumbnail sketch of him today. Talk about John Calvin. John Calvin took the scripture and organized it into church polity or church government. He was really good at that. We've looked at Jonathan Edwards, one of the signature Presbyterian preachers of his day back around the time of the Declaration of Independence. And Jonathan Edwards highlighted that the grace of God is bigger than whatever sin you may have committed. Today it's time for us to look at Francis McKenna. Before we go to talk about McKenna, let me tell you what it means to be a Presbyterian. Today you're sitting in a Presbyterian church. And if someone asks you what does that mean, there are certain things that people would say. Hopefully you'd say, "Boy, the pastor's really good, the choir's really good, you know, it's nice seating us, et cetera, et cetera." But to say you're Presbyterian really is to declare the form of government of which we have. The word Presbyterian is an English variation of the Greek word presbyterios, and it means elders. Presbyterians mean we're governed by elders. We elect them from our assembled body, from the congregation, from our membership, and then they become the officers of our church, elders and deacons. We just did this last week, 2 weeks ago. We did that on the 13th. We celebrated the fact that we have people willing to serve in the capacity of ordained leadership. And after the second service, this one, we voted in a slate of elders and a slate of deacons who will serve for the next 3 years. Throughout the history, though, Presbyterianism has been furthered by giants of the faith. And so today, we're going to look at the giant known as Francis McKenna. Has anybody ever heard of him? Good job. Thank you. Yay! What? At the early service, no. He's the unknown hero of our denomination. So let me give you a little bit about the impact he's had on our denomination and on our country as it exists today, what Francis McKenna did, what his contribution was. He was born, and actually we do not have a birth year. I looked this up. He was born somewhere around the 1640s, give or take, the best I can do. It was in Ireland in Donegal County. As a young man, he had a religious conversion. Now remember, history wasn't so well written then. We don't know what happened. When he went off to the university, Glasgow University, he had the call to become a minister, and then became a minister as a result of that. But we have no diaries, we have no history to tell you the process. And so my guess is that it is like many of us here. Most of us here did not have an Apostle Paul moment. You're riding on the road and all of a sudden God knocks you down, light from the sky, booming voice, new reason for living. Most of us have had incremental steps towards God, bit by bit. We realize that what we were doing in the past is not effective, and so we've changed. We've changed to get closer to God. We know that times we've committed a sin, that's affected us and affected the people we know, so we've asked for forgiveness, and we've changed. We've asked for Christ to change us, and Christ has changed us moment by moment, step by step, to where we are today and where we'll be in the days coming. And I think that's what happened with Francis McKenna. That's why there's no grand story like we have with Martin Luther. There's no grand story like we have with John Calvin. There's no big light. He just did like most of us. He realized living for himself doesn't work, so he got closer to God. Well, anyway, after he was ordained as a minister, he left Ireland in 1681/2 at the end of the year. And he was a clergyman on the great and grandest quest of all. He was going to America. He arrived in 1683. Mind you, realize, Declaration of Independence, 1776, that's about 90 plus years he arrived before that. Realize Jamestown, one of the original colonies, which doesn't exist anymore except for the ruins. McKenna arrived approximately 60-some years after that. Even the Mayflower came in 1620. That was 60-some years in the past. And so it's interesting, or 70 years for Jamestown, 60 for the Mayflower. Realize when he arrived on a continent that was not like we see it today. There were no real roads. There were very few communities. He arrived with the grace of God and the calling to preach to the colonists here, to sharing the truth of what Jesus is and the truth of the scriptures. And this is one of the things that makes us uniquely Presbyterian, is that we hold the Bible high. We hold the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, that God speaks to us through the Bible, that the Bible is living even though it's print. The Bible is alive because it's of God. And so we Presbyterians hold that great view. But we also hold the view that we're to go out into the world and make a difference. Like Francis McKenna left his known world to go to a new world to make a difference. So we hold up the newspaper. And so we Presbyterians are always in dialogue, the truth of the Word of God with the cultural events of the day. And how does the Word of God influence and impact the events of today? And how do they inform the events of today so we know how we should respond and who we should be? Presbyterian. So Frances McKinney arrived in a new world, and she was going to share the truth of the gospel, that even though they were eking out an existence, there was still a grander existence that awaited them, and that is to serve Jesus Christ, even in the most difficult of circumstances. He shared this in a sermon. The sermon's titled, A Good Conversation. Now, mind you, it's different than what you hear me preach every week. Here's the first paragraph of his sermon. It goes like this. In these words, for the division of my text, all humans may observe two parts in general. Number one, we have a large, comprehensive, rich, and enriching promise, as ensured and manifested, I will show that this is the salvation of God. And number two, we have the person particularly described and specified to whom this promise is assured and made, and most particularly proposed by him that orders his conversation aright, and I'll show you he's the salvation of God. Aren't you glad I don't preach like that every week? We're more conversational now in our modern day times. In that ancient time, sermons were more like a presentation of a paper at a educational facility, like a college or university. This sermon goes on and on and on and on. At that point, you all would be like, okay, let's see what the bulletin has to say. Oh, by the way, you couldn't do it then. Woo! They had people who were whackers. You know, they'd wait to go, okay. Anyway, let me translate what he just said in the first paragraph of his sermon titled A Good Conversation. He's basically saying salvation is what comes from God. It's for the transformation of who we are. And it comes in the form of a person, which is Jesus Christ. And so he highlighted that. Now we Presbyterians, that sermon is not unusual. Because we Presbyterians don't necessarily go after your heart, though we love for your heart to be present here. We go after your mind. That's very Presbyterian. We buy into the Romans 12:2 passage, which is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we know your heart can change. You can go out here, and you hit someone in the parking lot, okay? We know that can happen. By the way, the lines are redrawn. Follow them. Okay, anyway. The other piece is that the heart betrays us. It can make us think something that we're really not. Whereas the mind. The mind latches on to the truth of Scripture. And the mind can overrule the rest of the parts of who we are. That's why we Presbyterians preach a lot logic. We preach to the mind so that you can have that will overcome the heart when the heart goes woo, off on its merry journey. The mind can take it and bring it back. Now, Frances McKinney brought this gospel to the people in America who didn't know it. He arrived on the eastern shore of Maryland in what's now Somerset County, and he founded the oldest Presbyterian church in America. Well, it is now, and that's Rehoboth Presbyterian Church. He founded a number of them. I think the number is around 17. One's named after him, McKinney Presbyterian Church on the eastern shore, and the other is named Naomi McKinney Presbyterian Church. You have to wait later in the sermon to find out. He shared with the people of the British Empire, here colonists in America, the message of salvation. He did it in small towns, little hamlets, and he did it in big cities like Philadelphia. And this reminded me of like Kentucky. You know, we go away to Kentucky, and I've done the food truck, which is you drive down these little hamlet roads, and at the end of a holler, right, that's what they call them, or at the end of the road, is a church. Almost at the end of every little holler, there's a church. This is reminding Frances McKinney. As every little community came, and he set up a worshiping body with Presbyterian tenets and Presbyterian thoughts as part of that. He was a great unifier. Nowhere in my research did I find that people hated him. In fact, they rallied around him. In 1693, which is about 10 years after he arrived here in America, he married Naomi Anderson. Naomi's father was a businessman here in the America, here on the continent. And they had two daughters, Anne and Elizabeth. One of the churches that he founded was named after his wife. By the way, guys, big plus if you find a church, found a church and named after your wife. Pat on the back. Big, that's what he did. It's Naomi Presbyterian, Naomi McKenney Presbyterian Church. I've been in McKenney Presbyterian Church. Awesome. I've not had the blessing of being in Naomi McKenney Presbyterian Church. The other thing that Francis McKenney did was to organize the first presbytery, and that occurred in Philadelphia, PA. The question is, what's his contribution to us today? His sermon that I mentioned, A Good Conversation, is the first Presbyterian sermon that we have the whole thing that was preached here in the United States. It's the whole one we have preached in New York City. And so, as a result of that, we get a good view into the early life of our continent, the early life of our nation before it was a nation. And so we see what the thoughts are. That's one of his contributions. The other contribution was because he got arrested. On January 19th of 1707, in New York City, he preached the sermon I quoted, A Good Conversation, which is a conversation we have with God through Jesus. He preached it. The scripture was Psalm 50, verse 23, Matthew 5, 11, and Acts 5, 29. And because he preached it, he was arrested. Because he didn't have a license to preach in New York City. And so, in accord with the British Empire, remember, that's who was in charge, and their toleration acts, he was not permitted to preach without a functional license. He stayed in jail, give or take, almost a full year. He finally produced the license he had, because he did have a license. It just wasn't authorized by New York City. And so they finally released him, and he was acquitted of all charges. In other words, he was set free without any punishment. The reason why that's so critical, the case that he brought forth was a landmark for religious liberty here in now the United States of America. It's one of the foundation pieces of the first of our Bill of Rights, that we have freedom of the exercise of our religion. Remember, previous to that, you had to follow the rules of the community. You had to follow the rules of the king. Now, here in the United States, part of because of what Francis McKenney did, is that we now can freely exercise our faith. That means when you leave here today, you can go out and share the gospel. Realize, what would it be like if we couldn't? That means Harvest Hoedown, which we just did less than a month ago, we couldn't say it was run by a church. Our food bank, we couldn't say it was run by a religious organization. We could not, outside of our property, share what the gospel means to us, which means you couldn't share it at work, you can't share it at school, you can't share it at home. Courtesy of Francis McKenna, and him being a bulldog about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to share the good news in all the variety of areas of which we now enjoy. And we Presbyterians, this is one of the things that we highlight, protecting people's rights and their freedoms. And we do that in a variety of ways, because we want the ability to speak about what's good for our society. At the same time, we live in society. So, on this Reformation Sunday, let's celebrate. We have freedom of the exercise of our religion, because of Francis McKenna. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the gift of love you've given to us through Jesus. Thank you for the legacy of faith we have, that we are able to function here in the 21st century now, sharing love with one another, sharing love across Christian churches, and we're grateful for that, Lord God, for the ability to share love in our society as well. We thank you, Lord, that the love we're sharing is Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.